this was like right after I graduated from college, and I was living at my parents' house until I figured out what I was going to do. So I was living with them for like 3 months, and this man, like, who looked really official, came to my parents' house. I wasn't home at the time. He asked for me. He left his card, and my parents were like, "We think he's the police," and they were worried that it was, like, they were like, "What's wrong, Wendy? What, like, are you in trouble?" And I was like, "Oh my God!" So I called the man, and I'm like, "Hi, I heard you were looking for me." And what is it called? Like, it's one of those like processors. Is that what?
Process, yeah. Server. Yes.
Yeah. So it was a really friendly exchange, Chris. And he's like, I remember him saying, he's like, "No one's ever been this nice to me when I have to serve them."
You had no idea until he said that.
I had no idea. So like, we set up a time for him to come back to my house and serve me.
You made an appointment with your... I don't think it's ever been done in the history of mankind, but it was a debt you were eventually going to pay, right? So.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome back, hero.
Welcome to Real Stories, Journeys of Financial Wellness. I'm your host, Chris DeLugazima. Today, we have three interrelated stories. My colleague Wendy invited her mother and younger sister on the show. We'll explore a number of different life events: moving to a new country, buying a new home, foreclosure, paying for college, and retirement. What's unique about our story today is that we get to hear how each of these events affects different generations. For example, how the foreclosure affected Wendy's then 10-year-old sister, or how different members of the family are navigating their mother's transition into retirement. Throughout their journeys, each of them have openly communicated and learned from each other's mistakes and triumphs. And our hope is that you can all learn from these experiences too. Let's get started with Wendy's story. Wendy, welcome to Real Stories. So glad you could join us here today. And today we're doing something a little bit differently. We're going to be starting with your story, but we're also going to be including interviews with your mother and younger sister and kind of show how their stories are intertwined with yours. And so before we kind of dive into the family dynamic, I just want to start with you a little bit as far as, what do you remember learning about money growing up?
I feel like my first observation is that we didn't have money. Because, like, I would see friends with a bunch of, like, cool new toys, and I didn't have any. And I was like, oh, for some reason, I don't have any. And also, we just didn't have a lot in general. So I feel like I just had that kind of awareness. And I knew that I couldn't ask for certain things, like go buy something or go do something. I knew I couldn't ask, because when I had, it was like, it was always no. And it was always like money related.
Do you think that experience had any influence on you as you entered adulthood?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Because when I got my first credit card, it was just like, oh my God, I can get whatever I want. And that's not true. I didn't know, like, I knew I was going to have to pay for the credit cards. And I just got myself in so much trouble that way, because I was like, let me buy whatever I want then. You know,
yeah, I could imagine, like, the credit card is not there to say no, like a parent might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, do you remember how you even encountered that first credit card offer?
Yeah. It is like etched into my memory of being on my university campus for, it was, I think it's like, it's whatever, it's like the welcome week or something. And there were a bunch of booths of just like every group and like different things that the campus offers. And there was a bank on campus. It's like one of the big campus or big banks. And they just, you could just sign up right then and there for a credit card. And I had other friends who were doing it. So I was like, oh, well, if they're doing it, I can probably do it too. And that was like my first memory of getting a credit card.
So how did it eventually play out? You said you ended up using it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Yeah, so I just used it for like anything. Like I was working at an internship, and so I didn't have a lot of money. And so I was basically using the credit cards to like support myself, because I was like, well, I can pay the minimums, pay for what I need, pay for some of what I want. And it's no big deal, because like I'll figure it out eventually. And it just like got out of control.
What was, like, as it was getting out of control, what was your reaction, both internally, but also like, what did you do, if anything?
At the time, it got to a point where I just couldn't pay anymore. So I just like stopped paying, because I was like, well, I don't have money to keep paying, so I'm going to stop. And I remember like my dad had figured it out. He was like, and he was so disappointed. I just won't forget like how disappointed he was that I wasn't paying my credit card. And that made me feel really bad. So I was like, oh my God, I have to do something. But I still didn't have the means to do something. So it took me some time and like keeping creditors at bay. And I actually even got a judgment against me like recently after I had graduated from college. And that was really scary for me. I was like, oh my God, like this is a thing. I didn't know that could happen.
Did you know as it was happening that you were being sued, or did you find out about it after the fact? Or
it's kind of funny, Chris, because so this was like right after I graduated from college, and I was living at my parents' house until I figured out what I was going to do. So I was living with them for like 3 months, and this man, like, who looked really official, came to my parents' house. I wasn't home at the time. He asked for me. He left his card. And my parents were like, we think he's the police. And they were worried that it was, like, they were like, what's wrong, Wendy? What, like, are you in trouble? And I was like, oh, my God. So I call the man, and I'm like, hi, I heard you were looking for me. And what is it called? Like, it's one of those like processors. Is that what it is?
Process, yeah. Server. Yes. Yeah.
So it was a really friendly exchange, Chris. And he's like, I remember him saying, he's like, no one's ever been this nice to me when I have to serve them.
You had no idea until he said that.
No idea. So, like, we set up a time for him to come back to my house and serve me.
You made an appointment with your... I don't think it's ever been done in the history of mankind, but it was a debt you were eventually going to pay, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Now that I'm saying... I have never told anybody that story of, like, calling the process server. Be like, have a nice day. And he coming over, like, the next day or something. Oh, my God. That's so funny, dude. So the first thing I did was call around some lawyers, because I didn't know what to do. And I really liked this one guy, and he looked like Santa Claus. And so I felt, honestly, I was like, he's like a big dude. He looks like Santa Claus. I feel safe. I feel like we're going to get this sorted out. And He helped me with the paperwork. He was super friendly, super nice. And around this time, that was that first judgment. And then I found out that I was going to possibly get served again, like a few months later. So I worked with him again. And around that time is when I had started working at Green Path. So I started to learn a little bit more about what options were available. And so we were able to resolve that one. And like, you know, I didn't get in. I mean, it didn't have to go to court. But it was really scary. Even working at Green Path and knowing a little bit more, not as much as I know now, but at that time, it was really scary. But also, I ended up feeling like I could relate more to people because I understood exactly what they were talking about because I had gone through the same thing. So,
yeah, like, did you ever tell portions of your story with clients? Because I know being a counselor, we've had clients that get sued and that kind of thing. Like, did that come up or?
No, I never talked about it. Not even, it's actually been kind of hard for me to talk about because I'm like, I feel like I'm still like processing the shame of it, of having made decisions like that and then running away from it. And I don't know. And then I'm still working on it.
Yeah. 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 And so that's, so I understand that. So you had those debts, the one debt that was had taken it to court, one that almost did. And then I understand you're on a debt management plan. And just for full disclosure, it's not with Green Path. That's for compliance reasons. Our employees can't go on a debt management plan with our own organization. So we get referred out to an agency that does something similar. But what was your experience with that? Like, what is putting any of the debts that you did have on a debt management plan? What has that done for you?
The big thing for me is just knowing I'm going to be done and that, I don't know, like that I'm going to be done and it's okay. And I've learned how to deal with stuff better. I don't have the same like urge to just buy whatever I want with money that I don't have. And something that I prioritize now is I try to save money versus back in the day, I was like, I have an extra $100, bye. Like it was gone. And I would say part of that is also just like my husband has taught me so much because he is a big saver. And I didn't understand the value in saving money before like I do now. So I'm eager to finish paying off the debt so that I can continue to save, you know?
Yeah. And I want to talk about some of your goals post debt repayment in a second, but first there's the other component of your debt, which was your student loans. And I guess even before that happened, I understand, were you the first person in your family to go to college?
Yes. Yeah. And the first,
yeah. So what was that like? Yeah.
Something that my parents drilled into me is that they were like, you are going to college. You are going to college. That's it. Like, that's your only way to have a better financial life. And I remember I didn't really know where to start with college stuff. And I remember the first thing that the guidance counselor gave me was the FAFSA form. And so I thought you were just supposed to take out student loan debt. Like, I thought that's the way you do that. And taking out, just at the time, I couldn't really get a lot of federal help. I did have a 4-year scholarship, and it still was not enough for a 4-year school. I don't know. I saw so many other people going to college that I thought, well, this is the only way of doing things. So I guess I'm going to do this. And one part of what happened was in order to fill the gap between my scholarship and what I did receive federally was getting a private student loan. And what I did not realize at that time that I was signing up for was an adjustable interest rate private loan. And I actually, like, in the last few years is when I realized the impact of that.
Yeah. So similar to what happened often with mortgages, in fact, the next part of this story is going to be with your mother as she navigated a mortgage that eventually ended up in foreclosure. And I'm pretty sure that was also an adjustable rate mortgage. And of course, the risk with that, the challenge with that is not just that the interest charges are changing, but also the monthly payments are changing. So like, how did you face that? How did you navigate trying to be able to pay down that loan? Or like, as I understand, there's a time where it wasn't really even going anywhere.
Yeah. So at the time when I needed the private loan, it was right around the time that my parents were dealing with the foreclosure. So a family member co-signed the private student loan with me, and he just trusted that I knew what I was doing, and everybody did. And now I would never ask a family member to do that. At that time, I was like, well, it's going to be okay because I'm going to be making a ton of money after school, so it's not a problem. And I remember a few years ago, my uncle, after I graduated from school, he said, hey, I didn't realize the impact of the private student loan to me financially. He said he had been trying to get a loan himself for some home upgrades he had to do, and he couldn't qualify because the impact of the student loan. And that's when I was like, I don't want to impact him. Let me figure out what I can do. It took me some time to figure out what I was going to do when I looked into refinancing. When I applied by myself, I found out that I didn't make enough money to refinance the student loan, despite having paid faithfully on it for 5 years at that point. And that was kind of crazy to me because I could get the loan, pay on it for 5 years, can't refinance it because I don't make enough money. That was kind of mind-blowing to me. And then I had realized that I didn't realize early on that I had signed up when I initially got the student loan that it was adjustable. So later on, when I was looking at what I'm going to do, how am I going to get my family member off the student loan, I realized that I had an adjustable interest rate. And now I knew, because of working at GreenPath, what it actually meant. And then I realized that in the 5 years that I had been paying, I actually owed more than when I started paying back the student loan. I actually hadn't done anything, basically, the way the math worked out. And I had a breakdown, didn't know what to do. And I was able to find a student loan lender that I could refinance with. And worked it out, and now I have a fixed interest rate. And I've actually paid off $11,000 already. And I know when I'm going to be done paying that student loan debt.
Yeah, the predictability, right? So, like, it's not even necessarily that the interest rate went down a ton. I think it went down a little bit from...
It actually went up a little.
Actually, but it's set.
It was fixed.
And so that you could kind of plan ahead to know, all right, I'm going to pay this X amount and then thus be able to pay it off in this amount of time.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is powerful. Both in terms of your debt repayment strategy, but also for your budget too, just to have that predictability in there.
Yes.
So as you are getting closer to a point in time where the student loan will be paid off, where the other credit cards and other debt that you have will be paid off, what are some of the goals that you're looking at beyond there?
The big one is my husband and I want to start a family. So having some kind of predictability with the student loan debt has been really helpful. Because, like, you know, we know there's childcare costs and just care costs for a child, and paying down that debt as much as possible is a big priority for the both of us. I want to save more money. My mom's going to be retiring this year, so I want to be able to help her out where I can, even though she doesn't want me to help, but I do want to help her out where I can. And I honestly, Chris, like, the big thing is I just don't want the stress anymore. I don't ever want to be in this situation again.
And I know one of your goals that you've already achieved is you and your now husband purchased a home a couple years ago. So tell me about that experience.
It was kind of surreal because we had been talking about it for so long. And so going from, like, the first place that we lived to, and then the places after that, to then a home, I just think about, like, we got to do it younger than, like, my parents did. And we both thought a lot about it, and worked really hard to save up towards a down payment as best as we could. Like, it involved a lot of sacrifice of, like, not doing other things so we could secure that, because that was more important to us than anything else. And then it also happened in the 2020 craze of home buying. So it was kind of crazy going through it, and then also knowing so many people going through it at the same time. There would be times where we would find out about a house, be interested, and then a few hours later it was like already under contract or something. So it was kind of madness.
What have you been surprised about as you've become a homeowner?
Honestly, Chris, I'm scared that this is our forever home. I love this house so much. And also, I'm like, with the way things are going, I'm like, is this where we're going to be forever? And also,
because of the interest rates being so much higher now than when they were when you bought it, is,
yes,
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, there's just not that many options out there. Like, if we wanted to down the road get something different, is there going to be any inventory? I don't know. The value of our house has changed, and that surprised me because I wasn't expecting that to happen so dramatically in, like, the time that we've been here. There's houses on my street that have sold like hotcakes. Like, it's just so fast. Even recently, on my very street. Just things like that. Yeah.
So we're about to talk to your mom. We're about to talk to your sister. And your sister, who's younger than you, had the benefit of you going through your experience with school. Obviously, we'll let her share in her own words, like, what that experience was like, hearing about what you went through. But just from your perspective, what do you think that you went to? Did you try to impart to her as she went through the same thing later on?
Oh, the big thing was, so she knew she wanted to go to school, but she didn't know what to go to school for. So we explored community college. And there was a little moment where she was sad because her friends were going to four-year school and she wasn't. But she worked through that. And for the first time as a family, we talked about how we were going to pay for school and not apply for the student loan debt. And that was different because with me, it was just like, well, this is what my school said I'm supposed to do, so that's what I'm doing. versus with this, we all figured out a plan on about how to pay for school. And my family helped pay for school out of pocket. And she also took a class or two at a time to make it as affordable as possible and allow her to be able to work full time at the same time. And she's still doing that right now. And it's been a few years. But for me, the big thing has been like really stressing to her that taking things at a different pace is okay. And that I'm here for you, my husband's here for you, our family's here for you. We're all going to figure this out together so that we have a better chance financially than my parents did and other people in my family. So I feel like she has really taken that to heart.
And as we kind of weave the story of your family together, one of the things we'll be talking about with your mother shortly is about her facing retirement very soon, and also your sister who lives with her, how they're, you know, she's kind of supporting her in some ways. How do you all as a family kind of get together? Yes, your sister happens to be the one living with your mom, but I know it's a joint effort in many ways as far as making sure your parents are set up. We'll also hear from your mom shortly talking about how she doesn't want to be a burden on you guys. So like, how do you balance that?
I think that because of like all the stuff that we've been through, like with the foreclosure and like the impact of my student loan debt and helping my mom get through her debt management plan and me getting through mine, the big thing I feel like we've all gained is like another level of trust where I feel comfortable talking about these things with my family and vice versa. And when we talk about these things together, we come up with different solutions together versus before it wasn't like that before things got really hard. And so I feel like that's the big thing that I'm taking away from it.
Yeah, and I don't want that to be lost as we tell these three stories of how here in the podcast we always talk about trying to change the conversation around money just so that people are open about it. And the fact is, I'm not in a vacuum talking to three different people that are sort of in like a soundproof booth that aren't talking about this. In fact, we'll see the interview with your mom because she's more comfortable speaking Spanish. You serve as the translator. You were literally in her story as she's telling it. And so I think that is such a beautiful thing to lift up, is just literally within this story is you all are actually talking and learning things in the moment sometimes.
Yeah. I love it. I love this. Like, I feel like we're in a different level now. We're like, I love hearing my mom's ideas about what she's going to do and me sharing mine and hearing about what my sister's planning to do. Cause like, you know, she doesn't want my advice right now because she knows everything. And I don't know. I feel another level of closeness that I didn't realize would happen because of financial stuff, but it's there.
Absolutely. So, Wendy, thank you. We're going to hear from you throughout the rest of the podcast, but at least thank you for now for sharing your story.
Thank you.
For part two of our interview, we'll meet Wendy's mom, Reina. Her primary language is Spanish, so Wendy serves as our translator. You'll hear a short clip of the original version in Spanish at the beginning, but after that, we only left in the English portion. So, Wendy, we've just talked to you about your financial story. And as part of our episode today, we're going to be talking to your mother now, and you're going to be serving as the translator. And in doing this, obviously, we're trying to connect the dots as far as, you know, we each have our own money story, but so much of our journeys are sort of interconnected. And I know that you being someone who is a second generation to the U.S. Has its own impact on your own story. But let's go to the first generation now. Let's turn to your mom, Raina. So, Raina, thank you so much for joining us today on Real Stories.
Well, thank you, you people.
Absolutely, thank
your
you for
company.
Yes, and actually, we're gonna focus a lot on your journey when it comes to your move to the U.S. and some of the financial things you face. You also are or were a client of Green Paths, that you were in our debt management plan. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. But before we get there, I just wanted to start with if you could tell me a little bit about your life growing up in El Salvador when it came to your money.
¿Me puedes decir de cómo era tu vida en El Salvador cuando se trataba de dinero?
Pues allá no, las mujeres no tienen, no cargan dinero.
Allá estamos. She said that that for a lot of women, their only means of income, I mean, there just really wasn't a lot of opportunity, but a lot of that would fall on the men, and that if you wanted to buy something like new clothes, it was basically like a once a year kind of thing, like one item. So that was like her experience.
What was your motivation for moving to the U.S.? I'm sure there's many reasons why that decision came to pass, but was there any part of it that had to do with money?
She said that, yes, but it was because when she became a widow, she had no means. And she was like, my children, they need food, they need clothes, and they need shelter. And she said she remembers there was one day where she just didn't even have enough detergent to clean their clothes. And she was like, I have to do something and provide.
So it was one of those where if you stayed in the current situation, it just wasn't working. And so as scary as it is to move to a brand new country, it was something different. It was worth the shot, I assume. But I imagine it was an adjustment, right? So what do you recall was the hardest adjustment when it came to your money when you first moved to the U.S.?
She said that the biggest thing was like adjusting to like making sure she had enough money to maintain herself here, but also maintain my siblings in El Salvador. And so things that she would do is she was when she said Martha, she was referring to my she's not my blood aunt, but we call her my aunt. And they would go to Aldi and buy a 25-cent can of corn and stuff like that, just to be able to cut back as much as possible here so she could provide as much as possible there.
Yeah. So just balancing two families, basically. So fast forward a little bit. Eventually, you ended up buying your first home, not the one that you're currently in now. What was that experience like? Like, what do you remember good and bad about buying your first home?
The good part was just like knowing that they were able to buy a home. The bad part about it was eventually they felt misled by their mortgage bank or banker, I guess. And then what followed after.
Yeah. And so this was, you know, during the foreclosure crisis about 13, 14 years ago, as a lot of Americans also faced a similar circumstance that home got foreclosed on. What was your experience kind of leading up to it and then right afterwards?
She said it was hard because they had been in that house and paying on it for 12 years. So it felt like 12 years were just down the toilet. And she said that the other part is that they also didn't have savings to be able to put a down payment on something else. And even if they wanted to get another mortgage, they wouldn't be able to because of the foreclosure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was something that the lack of savings, but also I'm sure the effect on the credit right afterwards. But I believe it was maybe 5 years later, you were able to actually get a new home. How were you able to rebound to get to that point?
They've been in this house for 8 years now. My dad was able to keep saving, and with time their credit improved. And she said it felt like a miracle, because going through all of that, but still being able to, with time, for things to get positive again. My dad was able to take out money from his 401k towards the down payment.
Yeah. And it's the home that you're currently in, where we're interviewing, where I had the pleasure of having a beautiful meal about a year ago or so. Mm-hmm. So that was, yeah. So you mentioned with your husband, as you guys saved up for this current home, how do you guys currently split up your finances? How do you decide who pays what?
So he does the mortgage, things related to the house and the car insurance, and then she handles the car payment, groceries. She also does their health insurance for the family. Her, my dad, and my little sister. And then sometimes she, like, he has some credit card stuff that she pitches in sometimes, but she doesn't have any more because of our DMP, so she has leftover money to be able to help with other things.
Yes, and that brings us to the next question is, what was your experience, I guess, first with, like, how did any of your credit card or other debt, like, where did that come from? And kind of where did you reach the point? I know in this case, you happen to know someone who, your daughter, who works at GreenPath, but like, what was your experience finding out about how GreenPath worked?
It kind of, the debt started kind of happening when they lost the house. And it just kind of started to slowly build up, and where it reached ahead was like there was a lot of things that were happening at the same time. So like I was graduating from university. My grandma was visiting from El Salvador, and my mom, and it, basically my mom, anything my grandma wanted, my mom bought it for my grandma, but it was on her credit card. And then and also my brother, who's in the military, also got married. So this was like all, so like it was building up before that, but then it just like blew up and became bigger debt all at the same time. So her payments got really big, and even though she was paying more than the minimum, yeah, it didn't do anything.
Iba a dejar $100, 150, y cuando venía el otro mes debía igual.
It was basically, it was just her interest.
Was like, fue lo triste.
She would pay more, but then like the balance and the interest was so much that it like did nothing.
Tenía más alto.
Yeah, her balance would be bigger the next
one. Venía más.
So what was your experience first? I guess you first talked to someone at GreenPath that Wendy had referred you to, and then what was that experience like?
So I started working at GreenPath in 2017. So this is like a few years after the foreclosure, a couple years living into this house. And now like that's the year that the debt like grew. And she had been trying to figure it out on her own for about a year. And she talked to another group, and they said that she just had to organize her finances better and she would be able to get out of debt. And that made her really mad. And so I had been telling her for some time, Mom, like talk to GreenPath. And then after she had that conversation, she was like, fine, I'll talk to GreenPath. And that's when she talked to Ricardo, and she felt like at the time a huge relief, so excited. She couldn't believe it when he said that she would be done paying in a year and a half, like at the amount that she wanted to pay every month. She like did not believe it, but she was super excited to just finish paying the debt off.
And you did. Like, how did it feel when you had finally paid off your last credit card?
she was saying, like, she felt so relieved and just kept sending, like, good vibes to GreenPath and, like, all the people that she worked with, and sending good vibes to, like, everybody who works here, because that's, like, her experience the whole time. And that she's okay talking about her experience now because she realizes that, like, for her, if she had talked about it sooner, she probably could have gotten help sooner, like, figured out what was available to her. And so that's why she's talking about it.
Now in your new sort of debt-free situation, you still have monthly expenses and you're getting closer to considering retirement. What are some of the things you're thinking about as you approach retirement? Like, what are some of your goals?
So it was really important for her to just not have any debt before she even thought about retirement. And now that she's planning to retire this year, she's just building up her savings, trying to pay off her car as soon as possible, and just get ready to adjust to, like, what retirement will be like for her, and just, like, adjust to, like, be ready for, like, retirement income, because we're still trying to, like, figure all of that out. But she just wants to be ready for whatever.
Yeah, like, where do you even start when it comes to figuring out, like, how your income situation changes in retirement? Like, what will be your sources of income?
It's her 401k, Social Security, retirement income from her employer, and retirement income from a union, possibly. But we just need to figure all of that out.
Yeah, like, you know the sources, but you don't know individually how much any of them is specifically just yet.
Yeah. She's the first in our family who's ever gotten to retire. So this is all new for us. And even though I work at GreenPath, I'm also learning how to do this too with her.
Yeah. It almost reminds me, Wendy, from your story, as we talked about that you were the first person to go to college and all the learnings there, that this has sort of come full circle in a different stage of life.
Yeah.
That you're learning about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as you know, we'll have the portion of the interview with Emily right after this, but I know one of the things that's been happening is that she is in need of a car. You have the burden of your car payment. So there's been talk of her taking over your car, but still using the car, you know, to be able to transport you and that sort of thing. So I was wondering if you can share a little bit about your perspective on that.
What they're trying to figure out right now, so, like, what they're looking at is, so, like, my little sister has no student loan debt because they pay for it out of pocket, and she only takes one or two classes at a time, and balances working full time. And my mom's schedule and my sister's schedule align in a certain way where, like, my mom can work in the morning, and then my sister takes the car the rest of the day, and then it works out. What my dad is worried about is my sister's independence, because she's 22, and he's like, she just needs her own car, because, like, you know, the area that we live in, you can really only get places by car. So he's worried that she's losing independence. But from my mom's point of view, and my sister's on the same page, they're like, that's not a car payment, and it's one less car to pay on car insurance. And car insurance has gone up a lot. Even with shopping around, it's still a lot. So on their end, yeah.
Physical independence and financial independence, and kind of weighing how they play out.
Yeah. So they've been doing this for, like, 7 or 8 months now. So the time that it did become a problem is one time, like, my sister accidentally took the spare key with her when she was going to be staying somewhere else. And my mom needed her car keys. And so my sister had to make a whole trip to get the keys back to my mom. so that my mom could go to work in the morning. And now they have a spare, and now they have their own car key, because that was really annoying. But that's the only problem that they've had. They're approaching things like if we don't need it, we don't buy it. And how can we save as much money as possible? That's like their, like between her and my dad and my sister, that's their approach now.
And that's the long-term plan for your sister to continue to live there for the foreseeable future?
Yeah. My sister's happy here because she says she doesn't have to pay rent and she doesn't have to pay for the food. In exchange, though, she does take care of my parents and take them to their doctor's appointments and help them make sure they're taking their medicine, helping them with, like, if they need paperwork and stuff. And I pitch in where I can, but she's got it.
Emily, yeah, tienes ahorro.
And so she, and, but she also works, and so she's saving a lot of money that way.
it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
You were saying earlier of how one of your goals in retirement is to not only have your own financial independence, but to not be a burden on your children. Can you share a little bit more about that?
She said, because she took care of her parents for so long, that it was really important for her to make sure that we didn't have to help her financially for her to survive. And that if we want to help her, that it's by option, but not because it's needed. So that's why she has really prioritized taking care of everything.
Mm. So yet another example of kind of learning from past experiences, just how, in your case, Wendy, you took out student loans and now your younger sister wanted to avoid that. In this case, your mom was really having to financially assist her parents and now wanting to change that narrative.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How they're doing things differently is, like, for example, like they really wanted to go to Mexico and go see a cathedral. And they actually, like, did the numbers and decided how much you needed to save in order to be able to do that trip. And so they're looking at doing it next year, instead of, like, getting into debt and doing it this year. So they just want to save the money, and that's different. That's new. Yeah, before they would never have, like, a plan in place, but this time they would just put it on a credit card and then pay it off. But now they're actually planning it because they don't want to use credit cards.
That's wonderful. Yeah, just trying to learn from your past situation and just doing it differently and being able to do the things you want to do and staying with family and all that stuff. So thank you so much, Reina, for sharing your story here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, so my family, Wendy.
But we're helping a lot of people, and it's a big blessing.
Emily, welcome to Real Stories. So glad you could join us here today. And this is part three of our sort of three-part interview. We've already talked to your mom. We've talked to your older sister, who is also here with us in this interview as well. And earlier, we heard about your mom tell the story of about, I think we're going on like 12, 14 years ago, that they lost their home. And you were there at the time, but you were much younger. I think you were like maybe like 10 years old, something like that at the time. So with the understanding that, you know, there's a different understanding that a 10-year-old might have, but what were some of your recollections of living through that experience?
Well, I remember my parents coming back from court or something like that. I can't remember, but I remember them coming home stressed. I didn't understand why at that moment. I also, like, didn't understand why we were moving, because they didn't explain anything to me. So I was, like, very confused. No one was, like, telling me what was going on, except like, well, we're moving, we have to. And but also like before moving, we were like, this guy who bought the house was renting it to us. So I also didn't understand why we're doing that. Like, I thought we were able to like afford the house or something like that, but no one was explaining anything to me. So I was super confused.
As you look back, like how long was it before you understood more of what had actually taken place?
Around, I would say when I was 18. So that was like 4 years ago, five. Yeah.
Yeah. And by then you guys had already moved into the house that you're in now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, wow, I didn't know we were going through so much financially. Honestly, I didn't know. And also like throughout that spam too, like Wendy was going through so much too, like with money wise. So I didn't understand that too when my parents were discussing about struggling with Wendy and then the house, and I was like, what's going on, you know? So
I didn't know they were telling you about that.
No, they weren't telling me.
Oh, you just like heard it.
I just like, you know, eavesdrop, like, oh yeah. What's going on, like I'm just listening as a little kid is observating from their parents, you know.
How did that influence you? So that you mentioned when you were 18. So I imagine that was right around the time where you had finished high school. You were thinking of starting college. How did all those conversations influence your next steps?
Well, Wendy helped me think more wisely about going to college. So like she told me she was struggling with debt, student debt. So she's like, I advise you to go to community college. So that's where I went first, because I'm saving up money and, you know, at that time I can't afford like to go to university like at that time. So Wendy was like, you should start going to community college and just get your degree there. And because like honestly I don't think I could afford to go to university at this point, but I thank Wendy so much to help me throughout my stages of life financially, because she's like, I went through this, so you don't have to go through this, you know. She's someone who's a teacher and a mother to me, so she helped me so much throughout college. And I'm still, you know, I'm community college because currently, you know, life is, you know, a little hard at the moment. But, you know, I'm taking my time. I'm not in a rush and no one is telling me I'm in a rush. So
nobody is going to make my sister do things at their pace. She's going to do it at whatever pace she wants.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, I have to thank Wendy for that. Where I'm at currently.
Did, like, as you were making those decisions, was there like sort of decision points of like, should I do this or that? Or was it just, did like the choice seem obvious at the time? Or like, did you have any feelings around like, I wish I could have done this, or I wish I could have done that? Or was it just kind of full steam ahead?
Honestly, I needed guidance. Like I couldn't make a decision at all. So for Wendy to suggest that, it helped me to like, okay, move on forward with life. Like, let's get this started, you know. Maybe I would like it, maybe I won't. Let's see what happens, you know. Like, I did tell Wendy before joining the community college. I was like, I'm just going to get a job to save up money and to get a car. And Wendy was like, no, don't do that. You need to go to school. And my parents encouraged that too. They're like, don't worry about it. You need to go to school. You know, we can give you rides. Wendy's who's someone who gave me a ride to school in my first year. And I do appreciate that so much. But at that time, I just wanted to save up money to get a car. And, well, things, you know, was like, no, you need to go to school, you know. We can worry about the car another time. So.
And it eventually happened until, yes. Until unfortunately, you lost that car.
Yes.
As you detailed in your mom's story. But I love how things kind of came full circle, that Wendy was giving you rides to school, and now that you essentially have taken over what was your mother's car, I mean, it still is, I guess, technically, but you're giving her rides to work. And you lost your car got totaled. Yeah. Her car was in the same accident, but it was okay. And like, what, I guess at first, I'm imagining in the short term, there wasn't much of a choice. Like, that was the only family car, so you had to make do. But like, how did you guys kind of come to that decision of you eventually like taking over the payments and sharing a car with her?
Well, my mom doesn't like to go alone anywhere. So I was like, okay, like might as well take her to like her doctor's appointment, grocery store together. It's something that we just like, I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll do it with you. And plus, my mom was like, I don't really like going alone, so please take me to places. And I was like, okay, fine. It is hard to, like, to take her everywhere at first, because it's just, like, it's a heavy, it's not a heavy responsibility, but, you know, it's always on me. Like, I have to, like, be like, okay, fine, you know, I'll take you, even though I don't want to go, but, you know, it's just something I have to do. For my mom.
Yeah, just kind of juggling your independence and the responsibility that you have.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah, please.
Do you feel like that's like, because I know mom and dad don't make you pay for rent or food.
Yeah.
But do you feel like taking mom places is kind of like how you're paying them, kind of like
balancing in a way? Yes, because like mom and dad, they both buy the groceries. You know, their mom is paying for the car. You know, might as well take her places that, you know, that she's paying for the car. Like, it's $500 each month. Like, that's a lot. And I also, like, do the gas because I'm taking the car as well. I'm going places. So it's just, like, I think it's fair. If my mom is paying this amount, I should also tribute to, you know, taking to places, paying for gas, you know, like, I think it's a fair trade to me, if she's doing that.
One of the things we talked about with your mom was how she's facing the decision about retirement very soon. Is that something that you've discussed a little bit? Because I know it'll affect the family as far as it's still unknown what her new income would be, but certainly just lots of things will change. So, like, what's your perspective on this upcoming change?
Honestly, thankful. I'm happy that she's going to retire because she's been working there for 26 years. And it's honestly about time that she retires because she's, like, she's getting older. She's tired. Like, I just, like, she doesn't need to worry about work next year when she retires. So financially, like, I think she'll be fine because we have, you know, so many siblings. We have 7 of us, so we can always tribute to helping her financially. And, you know, we discuss how much she's going to get for pension, for 401k and stuff like that. We discuss that. And honestly, I think she'll be fine. If she doesn't have us, she'll be still fine with not having us when she retires. So I think I'm good with that. You know, I'm happy for her to retire.
Yeah. So it sounds like even though you happen to be the one sibling in the household, that you're realizing that it's not just you that's support. I don't mean financially necessarily, but like, it's not just you that's supporting her. You have your whole family to do that.
Yeah. 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 I do.
What are some of your financial goals? So I know, you know, you talked about how you're going to college right now, to a community college, not mm-hmm. just in the next year or two, but like just long term. What are things that you eventually want to do?
Honestly, I haven't thought about that far. Honestly, I'm just like, I'm worried about more of a current life right now instead of like, what am I gonna do in the future and stuff like that. I haven't really thought about it, honestly. But I do wanna like save as much as I can. You know, I'm trying to save as much to put in my savings, you know, like I'm trying to put $20 each week in my savings so I don't have to worry about the future, you know, financially. And also, like, my family and I, we want to go to a trip next year. And I told them, okay, each week we can put $20 in a bucket, like, so we don't have to worry about the credit card expenses. You know, like, we can just save whatever we saved in the bucket. They're like, okay, yeah, that's a great idea, you know? Like, they're happy with that idea because I don't want my parents to use their credit card. Oh, no. Like, that's the last thing I want them to do. So I think it's, we're all trying to save money as much as we can.
I love hearing that because although you weren't in the middle of the conversation that Wendy and I had with your mom, that was exactly something she talked about, is how they're wanted to go to Mexico this year, realized they'd have to put it on a credit card to do so, and we're going to save up to next year. So I didn't realize you were going to be on that trip as well. So that's kind of cool to see how it's a family thing and how just the logistics of, like, it's easy to save money, but like $20 a week. And also, like, it's just like a shared bucket that you guys do. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a bucket, and I put on the bucket a trip to Mexico, you know. Everyone needs to put $20. Yeah, no. Mom didn't tell you?
No, I mean, I didn't know you guys had a special bucket. Like, where is it? Is it in the kitchen?
It's in the kitchen. They haven't put $20 yet. Hopefully this week. I'm waiting for them to put $20, which they probably will. And, you know, I'm just trying to encourage them, my parents especially, my dad too, like, my parents, they need to like try to save money, like, each week, like $20 at least, you know. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of trip or like home expenses. Like, I just want them to learn about savings instead of using a credit card all the time. Like, I only have one credit card, and that's all I need. Like, for me, that's enough. Like, I don't need more. You know, I'm wow. that type of person who just, I'm scared of being in debt. I'm too scared because of Wendy.
It's probably not a bad thing.
Right. Yeah, like, I remember I, like, told Emily that if she had too much debt, she was going to go to jail, because I just wanted to scare her. And, yeah, but it's not true. Like, I think I've told you that by now, that it's not true. And also, I remember, like, when I was helping her apply for her first credit card, being like, how am I sitting here knowing that I'm working on paying back debt and I'm helping my sister get a credit card? What am I doing? So we talked about, like, the 30% usage and paying it in full and how to check your credit report and all that jazz. And nobody had that conversation with me. So, I don't know. Do you remember talking about that? And she don't remember. She don't remember. Wow.
She just remembers being frightened, is what it sounds like.
I just
like.
Remember Wendy helping me applying for a credit card. But that's really it. But I know, like, paying the whole amount, like, I do know that because Dad told me, but I don't remember having that conversation with Wendy, honestly.
Dang.
I'm so sorry.
I guess we're due to have that conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're having it here live. So one of the things that came up is that your mom was the first one in your family that's nearing retirement. So just like Wendy was the first one going to college and had to kind of learn trial by fire, it's going to be the same thing with her. And so that's actually also exciting to think about, although I'm sure there's going to be some bumps in the road as your mom figures that out, is that your family will kind of learn from this experience. And then when the next person is in line, I don't know if you have any aunts, uncles, whoever, in the same boat eventually, that hopefully this will be a smoother transition for them. Or yeah. You guys even eventually.
Yeah, I'll definitely learn from mom.
I can't believe it. Like that we have a person in our family who gets to retire.
I know. I can't believe it. I never thought of that. Now that you mention that, I never was like, oh my gosh, she's the first person to retire. Like for me, I'm just like happy she's gonna be done with working, you know, but I never thought of that. Like she's the first one in the family to retire. Like I know like all of our families, they work hard. Like they work super, super hard, regardless, like if they're retiring or not, you know, but I guess mom is just like a lesson to learn from in this retirement life.
We all have our first, like mom is going to be the first to retire. I'm the first to graduate from college. Mm-hmm. You're the first to not be saddled with a bunch of debt. And like, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is crazy. Oh. I can't believe it, honestly.
And it's just the whole learning from each other. And it's such a great sort of microcosm of what we hope to accomplish with this podcast, right? At its heart, this podcast is an educational experience. Wendy and I are on GreenPath's education team, and we try to educate people through storytelling. And this is something that clearly like organically happens in your family without y'all even knowing it, is just you're talking to each other, you're open about these things. Yes, maybe not to your 10-year-old self, I get that, but as you guys come into adulthood, that you all talk about these things with each other, learn from it. So it's just a beautiful thing to witness. So Emily, I thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your story. Wendy, you stuck it out for all three parts of the story today. So thank you as well for gathering everyone in your family and sharing your story.
Thank you so much. Proud
of you, Emily.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks. I'm trying my best out here. I'm proud of you, Wendy.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. Special thanks to Hero, whose music will play us out. To Wendy, Raina, and Emily, I thank each of them for reminding us that our journeys of financial wellness are all connected. What have you learned on your financial journey that you might share? And how might you learn from the journey of your loved ones? As you reach for your financial goals, I hope you enjoy the journey just as much as the destination.
Welcome back, Hero.